Thank you, Dr. Green. There's a theme of this morning's service, and it wasn't planned by me, but I do believe planned by the Lord. That theme, I think, is that God wants to use all of us for His glory. God desires for us, no matter our age or gender or status in life, God desires to use us. We as a Mumfordville Baptist Church have a vision statement. It's found there on the front page of your bulletin. You know that it is, the first step is doing what? Loving who?
God.
Loving God with everything that we have. It's the greatest commandment that we have. When we begin to love God with everything that we have, we seek out opportunities to serve Him and opportunities to be together. And so the second part of our vision statement is growing together. The beautiful picture of that this morning is Miss Darlene was before us having a need in her life and her family's life, and she has a community of believers in her Sunday school class, growing together, coming alongside of one another. So let me say, if you're not engaged and involved in a Sunday school class, let me encourage you to do that, to be here. There are different classes of different ages, and different teachers come sit in on different ones and figure out where God would have you to be, but we need to be growing together. We heard the testimony of a 101-year-old lady who's still faithfully serving the Lord in her own way, in a unique way, able just to sew dresses and give them to children, that this gift might open their eyes to a loving God who loves them. We saw from choir members reading the Word of God. We've seen participation throughout this service, which lets us understand that God desires to use all of us, that we would be found faithfully serving Him, bringing Him glory. But it all begins when we begin to ask a very simple question, and that is this: how do I have a relationship with God? And that's where it all boils down to. As we heard from Dr. Green, what Martin Luther was used by God to start a ripple effect of an awakening that happened all over the world that's still going 500 years later. How many things do you know that are still going after 500 years? Not very many, right? We as Americans, we as people, we invent new things to take over the old things, right? And we consider anything that's very old to be ancient and useless, and we kick it to the curb. We can't keep anything very long, right? Most things wear out and give out. But what we find is when we find anything firmly planted on the Word of God, in the will of God, it will stand forever. That's a good place for an amen. Y'all missed it. You'll get an opportunity again later. Just pay attention. So that God does things, and when God does something, it continues. And that's what God was doing through Martin Luther as he's wrestling with the question himself: how do I have a right relationship with God? How do I know that the creator of the universe, the one who causes my heart to beat in my chest, that I have an adequate, a right relationship with him? If you've not asked that question, I'm certain that in the back of your mind, it's something that you're wrestling with. And it's what Martin Luther was wrestling with. What does this mean? And the church was teaching him a lot of things, and most of which were okay. But there were things in that answering of that question that were not lining up with Scripture. And as he sought to do certain activities, he found that the peace wasn't there. And I wasn't finding the peace that I need to have with my relationship with God. And so picture this. You have a loved one who has just died. And you don't really know what's going on with them or where they are and what eternity is going to look like for them. But the church is telling you that you can pay X amount of dollars and you can give that to the church. And a priest will write up some kind of a documentation guaranteeing that person you've just lost is going to be in heaven. You're going to sign up to give whatever you have, right? Because you want to know that person is right with God. That's what's happening in the church in this day when Martin Luther is wrestling with this question of how do I have a right relationship with God. And interestingly enough, he's digging in the Word of God. And as he goes through the book of Romans, God literally opens his eyes spiritually to give him eyes to see the truth that's right in front of him. You see, you can read this book every day for the rest of your life as any ordinary book, but it's when it becomes an extraordinary book, it's when it is allowed to let the Spirit of God make this word come alive that it changes you. And that's what happened to Luther. When he read through Romans, it changed him because he saw himself and his reflection in this book. And what he saw was wrong. What he saw was broken. But also what he saw in that reflection, through the reflection, was a loving God with his arms open wide saying, I want a relationship with you. And maybe that's the second part of the question that you have rolling around in your mind. How do I have a relationship with God? And maybe, does he even want a relationship with me? Does he desire to know me? Does he desire that I know him? The scripture is really clear that we have a loving God who created us with a desire to know him, and he longs for us to come and know him. With his arms stretched open, ready to receive us at every moment of every day, that's who this God is. How do I have a relationship with God? Let me encourage you to take your sermon note sheet out of your bulletin. Follow along with me, and if you are a teenager or younger and you follow along and take notes, you need to know the name this morning. You need to know the name Martin Luther, so Barry, when they come to you. So if you take notes, you can see Brother Barry at the end, and he'll reward you for your faithfulness. 13 and under, or teenager and younger, you can take notes, and you, if you're older than that, you just need to be anyway, all right? I don't have any nerd ropes for you. And when they come to you, Barry, they need to know Martin Luther, all right? So let me encourage you to take out the sermon note sheet. Jot down things that God would impress upon your heart. It's not important you remember me or anything I have to say, but when God speaks, we need to remember it, right? And turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start back in verse 14. I'm not going to have you stand this morning because you're going to be looking a lot of different places, and I want you to jot down notes. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning there in verse 14, for the remainder of the message this morning, we will be in the book of Romans looking at passages of Scripture that did come alive to Martin Luther. And what we're looking at is the theology of the Reformation. What was important about this Reformation that still goes on 500 years later? What are the fundamental truths that God wants us to know? And the first one is this, sola scriptura. Sola scriptura, which is Latin for Scripture alone. So Scripture alone is the authority. You find that's the first point there in your outline. As Martin Luther stood before the council, who he got in a lot of trouble with the church after he nailed those 95 theses to the door, and it spread like wildfire everywhere. We've got to stop this man and get him to stop talking. And so they brought him before the council, trying to get him to denounce everything that he wrote and everything that he was saying. And he made many statements, and one of them was this. Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. So God help me. Luther was standing on the fundamental principle that if what I'm saying is right with this word, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't really matter even what you do to me, because the foundation by which I live my life is this book, Scripture alone. It is the authority. Has this book been attacked over history? Is it being attacked today? You can go to numerous education places today and sit in classrooms to find that this is just any other book. Some may even say it's a historical book, but you can't quote it or use it because it's not trustworthy or reliable. The attack from the enemy from Genesis chapter 3 on is the question, can you really trust God? Did God really say? And God really did say. It really is in his book, and we need to know what it says. 2 Timothy 3. Start there in verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy, the troubleshooting pastor that he would send out to work out issues in the church. And he's encouraging Timothy with these words. 2 Timothy chapter 3 will begin in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you. Who taught Timothy? Anybody know? It's a bonus question. Yeah, Paul taught him. So he's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the son in the faith through the Apostle Paul. But prior to that, who taught him? I saw a hand in the back. Mother and grandmother. Extra bonus points if you know their names. Lois and you, thank you. Y'all are on top of it. This is good. Okay, so he said, you know those who taught you. You know that they've taught you these fundamental principles. Continue in what you've learned and firmly believed. You know who taught you. Verse 15, and you know that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for what? Salvation through what? Faith in who? Christ Jesus. So these scriptures are able to make us wise, wise about a lot of things, but first and foremost, wise about salvation. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be rescued from sin? And it comes by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture, how much of it? All scripture is inspired by God, or God breathed. Let's do a little exercise. Take your right hand and put it in front of your mouth and blow. Did it smell good? If it didn't, you probably didn't brush your teeth. Just checking. That's not the exercise. So when you blew on your hand, do you have any question where that came from? Not somebody next to you, not somebody next door. Came from your mouth, right? What this is saying is all scripture came directly from the mouth of God. We don't have to question where it came from. It's as sure as you blowing on your hand, knowing this is where it came from. All scripture is inspired by God and is what? Is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God, the woman of God, the faithful follower of the Lord may be what? Complete, equipped for every good work. Everything you need to know to be right with God and to faithfully serve God is found here. It's found in God's Word. The tragedy is oftentimes we neglect it. We leave it for somebody else to study and tell us about, when in reality God desires for us to know Him intimately, and in order for that to happen, we need to be in His Word every day. The scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. The scripture is from God and provided all that we need to know God and to be with Him for eternity. Above the authority of any man and their words is the Word of God. So, let me make this statement. You need to hold me and anybody else accountable when they stand before you and speak for God. If it's not found in this book, they need to know it. If you find any individual who's leading any organization and they're leading it for the glory of God, and they're doing so in such a way that's contradictory to this book, you need to hold them accountable. But you can't do it if you don't know it, right? You can't tell me if I'm saying something wrong if you don't know it's wrong. And so you've got to be in the Word every day. Now let's picture this. Let's say that you're in a relationship. We're talking about being in a relationship with God. Let's say that we're in a relationship with somebody and God has brought somebody in our life and they've really caught our attention. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, the kind of attention so that when you hear their name, your blood pressure rises and your heart's like beating and you're, oh, it's them. When you hear their voice or think about them, strange stuff happens, like your palms start sweating and you get weird. You can't talk like you want to talk. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all been there before? Yeah. Shouldn't have asked that out loud. We'll talk later. So if you have that kind of desire to be with that person, are you going to call them up for 1 hour a week and not talk to them any other time? No. That relationship means so much to you that you want to spend as much time as possible. You want to be with them. You want to know what they're thinking. You want to know how they're thinking about what you're saying. And you want to know everything you can know about them. That's how we need to be with God. And the only way that's going to happen is if we're daily in a relationship with Him. So we're talking to Him, as the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Praying all the time in a constant conversation with Him. That we're listening to Him. One of the ways we listen to Him is in His Word, regularly listening to the Lord. The Scripture is where it all begins, and then it unfolds for us these truths that we'll look at. The first one is this, sola fide. Sola fide is Latin for faith alone. saved by faith alone. If you turn to Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, you can look at verses 1 through 5. Romans 4, verses 1 through 5. By faith, we are declared righteous. Not an outside declaration or activity done by a church or a family member. This relationship with God is not something I can do for you. It's not something someone else can do for you. This church has no power to do this for you. We are saved by faith alone. Romans 4, verse 1. What then can we say that Abraham, our physical ancestor, has found? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to brag about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now the one who works, pay is not considered as a gift, but as something owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who declares the ungodly to be righteous, by faith is credited for righteousness. So Abraham was declared justified or righteous before God. He was declared as pardoned for his sin. Why? Because of something he did? The scripture tells us that he trusted in God. He believed in God. And because of his faith, it was credited to him as righteousness. It's not something he did to earn. It was something he was freely given. But it was given based on his faith, his belief, his trust in who the Lord Jesus Christ is. His belief is not just a faith in faith. It's not just believing. What I hear today in our culture quite often is, you just got to believe. You just got to believe. And if you have some faith and you have some faith that maybe there's some God out there, well, that's all anybody has to do, really. If you believe hard enough that a frog can fly, can a frog fly? No. If you believe hard enough that you're going to get taller and wiser and richer, are you going to get taller, wiser, and richer? No, tried it. Didn't work. Still short and not real smart and don't have hardly any money. So, you know, it just doesn't quite work for us. Just believing that you believe doesn't get you anywhere. It's where the faith is placed. For Abraham, his faith was squarely placed in the Lord Jesus Christ that was coming to him, in the God that loved him. His faith, his believing was in God and God alone. This is not something we work for. It's something that simply comes to the ones who believe. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. You want to write that reference down. It'll be on the screen in front of you. Ephesians 2, beginning there in verse 8, says, "For you are saved by what? Grace through what? Faith. This is not from yourselves. It's not something you do, something you earn, or something that you can get. It is God's gift. Not from works, so no one can boast. For we are his creation, created in who? Christ Jesus. For what? For good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we would walk in them. Through faith alone, not for works, nor by works, but faith is the channel by which blessings from God flow." Sola fide. Sola gratia. Sola gratia is grace alone. We are saved by God's grace alone. Turn back a chapter there in Romans to Romans chapter 3, beginning there in verse 21. Sola gratia, grace alone. We are saved by God's grace alone. It is by God's grace or God's gifting that we are saved. The argument that Paul was making in the previous passage that we looked at was, let's say that you show up in the morning and you punch the clock and you work all week long like your employer asked for you to do. What do you expect at the end of the week? You expect to be paid. At least a few of us are. If you're not expecting to be paid, I got a lot of work that needs to be done around the house. If you do stuff for free, that's great. Let me know. We do stuff because we expect a paycheck, because we've got to make bills and we got to do things with this. And so if somebody showed up week after week to work and got a paycheck, it's really not that strange to think they're going to get paid. When we work and we think we're working for the Lord, it's not that strange to think God's going to give us this, what we earned. Salvation is not what we earn. It is a gift, something we freely receive. It's like you showing up on Friday, payday, at 5 o'clock, quitting time, and the employer gives you a check and you didn't show up all week. Is that strange? Yeah, it's a little strange to us because we're accustomed to working for what we get. We don't work for our salvation. It is a gift given by God. Romans 3, verse 21. But now apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. That is God's righteousness through what? Faith in who? Jesus Christ, to all who believe. Since there is no distinction, for all have what? Sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person here breathing air this morning is a sinner. And your sin separates you from God. Verse 24, that's all of us who are sinners, they are justified freely by His what? His grace through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a propitiation through faith in His blood to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His restraint God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented Him to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so that He would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has what? Faith in who? Jesus Christ. We are all sinners and sentenced to a place called hell with eternal separation from God. However, we are pardoned freely by God's grace through what Jesus Christ made available. So Scripture tells us that we are all sinners and that sin separates us from God. It also teaches us that by faith and trust in God, we can be redeemed. And now on top of that faith, we receive a grace, a gift from God. Our salvation is not something we earn, but something that we receive. Being freely pardoned from this sin penalty and put in a right relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 2, previous verses to what I had you write down earlier. Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love that He has for us, made us alive in the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by what? Grace. God's great love and mercy come together to make us alive in Jesus Christ by grace. God's great gift. It is God's gift that we can't give to someone else. And we can't do something for God to get Him to give this gift to somebody else. It's simply between them and God. We can't save others. In fact, you can't save yourself. But by God's grace, He saves your soul. We are saved by faith, through grace, in who? Christ Jesus. Sola Christus is the fourth sola of the Reformation. Sola Christus, Christ alone. Jesus alone is our Savior. Romans 5, looking at verses 17 through 19. We are made right with God only by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Romans 5, beginning in verse 17. Let me back up to verse 12. It's important that we understand the context of what's happening here. Paul writing to the Romans, instructing them about what salvation means, what it means to know Christ as Savior. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. Who is the one man being spoken of here? Adam. Sin entered the world through one man. That one man is Adam. And death came through this sin. In this way, death spread to who? To all men. Why? Because all sin. We're all sinners. Now back down to, what verse did I tell you to go to? Thank you. 17. Since by one man's trespass, who was that one man? Adam. Death reigned through that one man, but much more will those who receive the overflow of what? Of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man who is who? Jesus Christ. So then, as through one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act there is life-giving justification for who? Everyone. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This faith in God is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us. This grace is a gift of God given to us because of what Jesus has made available. Jesus is the key ingredient. You rip him out of this equation and none of this happens. Our redemption is impossible without Jesus Christ. You see, why does the media get all bent out of shape about us mentioning Jesus? Well, this is why. The enemy wants no one to hear the name Jesus. Because it's at that name, and no other name was given under heaven by which we must be saved but the name of what? Jesus Christ. That's why on television interviews you'll find individuals giving awesome testimony. And editors will go in and remove the name Jesus every time. Why? Because you can talk about God all you want to. But God alone doesn't save us. It's the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that saves us. It's what Jesus made available that saves us. And that's why Luther and the Reformers were so bent on making sure everyone understood this. It's not about a religion, ladies and gentlemen. It is about a relationship. And that relationship with God is made possible only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because through one man's disobedience, that's Adam, we are all made sinners, destined for a place called hell. But through one man's gracious act of obedience, that's death on the cross, you and I experience life everlasting. His act of obedience alone is adequate to save us. Romans 8, verses 1 through 3. Write that reference down. Romans 8, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, so if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by God's grace, these words are true for you. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. Because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in flesh, like ours, under sin's domain and as a sin offering. What Jesus Christ did on the cross made possible your forgiveness and mine. And when we embrace who Jesus Christ is, then we're set free. Free to finally live as God called us to live. Jesus has set us free, not our works for ourselves or anyone else. We're free to do what? We're free to do what God created us to do, and we were created to bring him glory. The final point of the Reformed theology is soli Dei Gloria, the glory of God alone. We're saved to live for God's glory alone. One more passage in Romans, if you turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Through verse 36. Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever first given to him and has to be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. If you do something, enough somethings to earn your salvation, who does it point to? You. If you can come to this church and we can do something for you that you would be right with God, who does it point you to? The church. If I or any individual can stand up and do something for you to be saved, I or that individual would be the focus of all attention. But it's not us. It's not an organization. It's not what we do. It's God alone. Why? Because God alone deserves the glory. Everything has been created by him, everything points to him, and everything is for his glory. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15 says this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. And indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that grace extended through more and more people may cause thanksgiving to increase to who? God's what? Glory. The result of our salvation and our faithful obedience to the Lord is that we point people to him, not us. That God get recognition, that he be glorified, and that he be honored. The grace of God results in thanksgiving and glorification of God. If we or a religious organization are recognized as accomplishing this, we get the recognition. And people depend on us. But when it all flows from Scripture, we find the truth is, we're saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. So why? So we can bring God glory. So that we can make him known. Have you glorified anything lately? We don't use that word in our culture. I mean, you're not going to put that on Facebook and say, well, I glorify this today. Really? No, not really. Have you glorified anything lately? Have you found the next best thing? Have you found a pair of shoes that you can't live without, and you found them at an amazing price? Anybody? Yeah, a couple of people. What about a purse? What about a handgun? I've been looking at a few of those. Yeah. Four-wheeler? A car? What about a basketball player? Anybody talked about sports lately? You won't believe what so-and-so did. It was awesome, right? We're glorifying all of those things when we talk about them and make them known. That's what it means to glorify God, to talk about him and to make him known. And that is why we were created. And you cannot do that. Let me put it this way. You will not do that until you have a right relationship with him. You don't glorify what you don't know. You won't talk about a pair of shoes on the shelf that you've never seen. You won't talk about a player who plays on a court that you've never witnessed. But when you know him, when you have a relationship with him, you will honor him. When you first fell in love with that person seated next to you, for some of you, don't get weirded out. I'm not saying y'all are in love or anything, guys. Okay. You want everybody to know their name and everything they do. Is it that way with God? I mean, really, do you want everything he's done in your life to be known? If not, then maybe you don't know him like you should. Then maybe your relationship with God isn't what it needs to be. I want you to stand with me, please. Nearing the end of our time together this morning, but quite frankly, this might be the most important time that we'll spend together all day. It's for us to ask this question, and that the question is this: do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you know him by name? And do you know that he knows your name? Is that a question you've been wrestling with since I said it the very first time? Do you know that you know that you know today that you have a relationship with the creator of the universe, the redeemer of your soul? If you can say, I'm not quite sure, then the truths that have been laid out before you are truths that you must embrace. If you would like for me to pray with you about that decision, I'll be standing right up here. I would love to pray with you. But you don't need me. All you need to do is talk to God. Right where you are, have a conversation with him. He can know your thoughts anyway, so you might as well express them. Maybe today you would say, yeah, I know that I have a relationship with God, but it's really not what it needs to be. What is it that's standing between you and God? Is it a habit or a hang-up? Is it an issue? Is it a lack of priorities that you're not giving Him what He deserves? During this next few moments, it's for you to consider what those things are, lay them at His feet, and trust Him to take care of them. And thirdly, this morning, we're going to be celebrating at a table prepared by our Savior. Jesus Christ prepared a table so that we could celebrate and remember His death on the cross, His burial, His resurrection. And you're invited to that table if you have a relationship with God and there's nothing standing between you and Him. So now is the time to get that invitation right. In the next few moments, deal with that between you and God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the truths that we find in Your Word. Thank You, God, for not changing. There's so much stuff around us that changes, sometimes by the second. But God, we come before You this morning as the God who never changes. The truth that You've spoken from the beginning of the world is still true today. Thank You, God, that we can depend on You and trust that these words that we found in Your Word this morning are true for all of us in this moment. And so, God, I pray for each person here that's wrestling with a relationship with You. God, it's not words that I speak, but it's when Your Spirit moves that we're changed. So I ask that Your Spirit would move in each heart this morning, that every person here would know without a doubt they have a right relationship with You. For some of us, our relationship with You is strained. We haven't talked openly and honestly with You for a long time. And so, God, I ask that You would remove the junk from our presence that would keep us from being in that close, intimate relationship with You. God, may we all be prepared and ready to celebrate at the table together. For that to happen, we need to be right with You. So God, speak to us and we'll listen and respond in Jesus' name.